Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
They thought it was just a flat, a small converted garage on the edge of Cape Town. Nothing old, nothing with history. But what if history doesn't matter when something else already lives there? In this story, we hear from someone who never asked to believe in the paranormal, but who could never ignore it either. For most of their life, the signs were subtle. Misplaced items, strange sensations, that creeping sense of being watched. But it wasn't until they left the safety of their parents' home, moved in with the one person they trusted most, and found themselves isolated in a space meant for peace, that it all began to escalate. Was it their heightened sensitivity to the unknown, or was something already waiting for them in that flat, patient, quiet, and feeding off the emotional cracks forming in their relationship? What followed were unexplainable sounds in the night, a whisper that would stop the heart, and a crimson mark left in impossible places. Coincidence or warning? Let's get to the letter they write. Tony, I don't usually write things down like this, but after everything that happened, I don't know. Maybe it'll help me make sense of it, or maybe it'll help someone else who ends up in a place like this. The flat isn't old. That's the part I can't shake. It's not like one of those crumbling heritage homes with a dark attic or a creepy past. It used to be a garage, a square, solid little space in a quiet part of Cape Town with white walls and no upstairs neighbors. No history that I know of. We moved in about 8 months ago, my fiancé and I. We were just starting our life together, renting our own place. It felt freeing. A little worn down, sure, but it was ours. But I've always been sensitive, I guess. Ever since I was a kid. My parents used to dismiss it as an overactive imagination. Lights flickering, objects moved, that familiar feeling like someone's standing right behind you when there's no one there. All that came and went over the years, but when I moved into the flat, it didn't just come back. It got louder. At first, it was just the usual stuff. I'd set my keys on the kitchen table, then find them in the bedroom. A small thump from the bathroom when no one was in there. Things you'd shrug off, especially when you've had a long day. But this time, the feeling stuck. The hair on the neck kind of stuck. There were times I would freeze in place, feeling watched like someone was standing just out of view. And it didn't help that things between me and my fiancé weren't great. We were going through a rough patch, lots of arguments, weird silences, that kind of emotional static that lingers in a small room like a fog. I started to wonder if the tension between us was stirring something up, or maybe it was the other way around. One weekend after a particularly bad week, we decided to drag the bed into the lounge. We do that sometimes, just pull it in front of the TV and stay there all weekend playing games and binge-watching stuff, like a way to block out the world. That night, I was already on edge. I was sick and couldn't sleep. Around 3 a.m., I heard something that jolted me wide awake, fast, deliberate knocking from the front door. Three sharp raps, then a pause, then three more. We live in a secure complex. Nobody comes knocking at 3 a.m. I sat up, disoriented. My fiancé was still asleep. I was about to wake him when my phone buzzed, and I almost dropped it. It was a call from a friend who was outside, in our backyard, calling to us, and that made no sense. The only way into the backyard is through a locked side gate. But I heard him, clear as day, calling our names. My fiancé got up, threw on a hoodie, and went to deal with it. I stayed where I was, wrapped in a blanket, still trying to understand what I had just heard. But before he even made it to the back door, it happened. Something shifted. The room went thick, and then, right by my right ear, I heard it. A voice, low and furious, "Get out!" Two words hissed like a threat, like someone was standing an inch from my face. Then silence. Total stillness. My fiancé came back in a minute later, confused, said no one was there. I told myself I imagined it. Maybe I was exhausted. Maybe my ears were playing tricks. That's what I told myself. Until the next day. It was around lunchtime. I was doing a quick clean, tidying the dishes while my fiancé sat on the couch. He looked up, then pointed at the far wall. "What's that?" I turned. There it was. One single, perfectly straight red drip on the wall. It started a little above eye level and ran straight down maybe 8 inches. No smearing, no splatter, just a narrow line. The wall has texture, so for anything to move straight like that, it doesn't make sense. I thought maybe it was paint. But there was nothing around it. No red anywhere in the flat. I wiped it off and threw the cloth away. Told myself it must have been something we didn't notice. But the next morning, we found another one in the kitchen. Same color, same line, same impossible placement, right above the counter where I'd made coffee not 30 minutes earlier. It didn't smear when I wiped it. It clung to the wall. But again, no source, no red food, no spills, no open wounds, just the mark. Like someone or something was leaving a trail. That night I checked every corner of the flat, the ceilings, the vents, the cupboards, nothing. Then our hamster died. She'd been with us for years, a little ball of energy, always running on her wheel. But she'd slowed down just overnight. One day she was fine. The next, barely moving. I found her in the corner of her cage with her eyes open and her little front paws pressed together, like she'd been caught in a moment of pleading. It felt wrong. I know she was old, but there was something about the timing, the way it happened right after everything else. I buried her outside in a planter box we never used. My fiancé said I was reading too much into things. Maybe I was. That week we pulled the bed back into the bedroom, trying to return to normal, but something in the flat had changed. The air felt heavier, like walking through molasses. We were both irritable, snapping over nothing. I started double-checking locked doors. I began leaving lights on overnight. Then a few nights later, the hammering began. I was dozing off when I heard it. Slow, heavy thuds coming from the ceiling, like someone hitting the rafters with a mallet. There's no unit above us, just the roof. I thought maybe it was a bird, but it didn't stop. 15 minutes, maybe more. Always the same rhythm, no fluttering, no movement, just that thud, that pounding sound that seemed to come from right above the lounge, and we finally gave up and went to bed. But it didn't end there. As I got up to grab a glass of water before turning in, I walked toward the lounge, toward the wall where we used to keep the hamster's cage, and just as I reached for my glass, a bang exploded from the wall. Not a creak, not a thump. A full force slam, like something massive had hit it from the other side. The paintings on the wall shook. I stopped in my tracks, my breath caught in my throat. I couldn't take another step. I left the glass behind and went straight to bed without a word. That was the last time anything that intense happened. But it wasn't the end, and I didn't sleep that night. I couldn't. I lay in bed, staring at the ceiling, waiting for another bang, a whisper, a drip, but nothing came. Just the shadows stretching across the room as dawn inched in. When morning finally arrived, it felt like the house had exhaled, like it had gotten whatever it wanted. The strangest part? Things went quiet. Too quiet. Over the next few days, there were no knocks, no hammering, no voices. The red drips didn't return. The air in the flat began to feel lighter, and so did we. My fiancé and I weren't fighting as much. We started laughing again, sharing meals without that pressure in the air. It was as if a weight had lifted. But I couldn't let it go. Not really. I kept watching the walls, checking the floor near the front door. I found myself glancing at the spot where my hamster's cage used to be. like I expected something to be sitting there now, watching. There were still moments, quiet, fleeting, where I felt it. The sensation of eyes on me from the corner of a room, a cold spot by the kitchen sink, the hallway light flickering once, just once, as I passed beneath it, all of it subtle, like something still lingered but wasn't ready to show itself again. Then came the dreams. They weren't like normal nightmares, I wouldn't even call them scary, just vivid. Over and over, I'd see the lounge, the walls, the table, the front door, all the same, but something was off. In one, I walked through the lounge and the red drip on the wall was back, but this time it was moving, crawling down the wall like a slow tear. In another, I saw the back door wide open, the curtains blowing inward, and something just outside shrouded in black. I'd wake up feeling breathless, like I'd been holding my breath in the dream and didn't realize it. I didn't tell my fiancé about the dreams. We were in a good place again, and I didn't want to open that door. But the insomnia started to creep in. I'd lie awake for hours, mind racing. I began leaving the TV on at night just to drown out the silence. Sometimes I'd hear things in that static, not words exactly, but impressions. Like something was trying to form just beneath the noise. It would make my skin crawl. One evening, about 2 weeks after the last big event, I noticed something strange. I was vacuuming the lounge and accidentally knocked over the end table by the wall. As I picked it up, I noticed a faint circular smudge on the wall behind it, just above the baseboard. It was the same red hue, but it had dried and darkened. I'd never seen it before. I grabbed a cloth and scrubbed at it. It came off easily, but as I wiped it away, I had this overwhelming sense of regret, like I was erasing something I shouldn't. That night, I dreamed again. Same room, same silence, except this time I wasn't alone. In the dream, I stood in the doorway to the lounge, watching myself asleep on the mattress in front of the TV. I could see my body breathing, see the way the blanket rose and fell. Then I turned, still dreaming, and looked toward the hallway. There was something there. Not a person, not exactly. A shape, maybe. A figure darker than the shadows around it, just standing at the edge of the hallway where the bedroom meets the rest of the flat. It didn't move, it didn't speak, but it was watching. When I woke up, my body was stiff, like I'd been paralyzed in place for hours. My fiancé was still asleep, the hallway was empty, but the feeling stayed that something had watched me and was still watching. After that, I couldn't relax in the flat anymore. I stopped going into the lounge at night. I avoided the table by the back wall entirely. Even during the day, the house didn't feel like mine anymore. Like I was borrowing it from someone or something else. And then, nothing. No more dreams. No more drips. No voices. Just a strange numbness. We've been living in the flat quietly ever since. No more arguments. No more dragging the bed into the lounge. Just routine, clean, cook, work, sleep, if I can. The insomnia never really left. Even when I'm exhausted, there's this part of me that stays alert, listening. It's like I'm waiting for something to come back. I don't know what triggered it. I don't know if it was our emotional state, if the flat was feeding off us, or if something was there all along just waiting for the right conditions to wake up. Sometimes I wonder if we brought it in with us, if maybe it didn't live here until we did. There are no marks on the walls anymore, but I still glance at them every morning, just to be sure. I think whatever it was, it left with my hamster. Or maybe it never left at all. I don't know what you make of all this, Tony. I'm not asking for answers, but if you're reading this and you've ever felt something watching you from a dark hallway, know that you're not alone. And maybe you never were. Nadine. Sometimes it's not about what we see, but what we feel. Nadine's story isn't filled with floating apparitions or slamming doors every night. Instead, it's something far more unsettling, a presence that whispers rather than screams, waits rather than strikes. It's the kind of haunting that doesn't need theatrics because it works through isolation, sleep deprivation, and emotional erosion. So what happened in that flat? One possibility lies in the psychological. a young couple under stress confined in a small space. Our minds are hardwired to detect patterns, to search for meaning in shadows. Negative energy can manifest in subtle ways, paranoia, insomnia, the brain amplifying every creak, every coincidence. Sleep paralysis and stress-related hallucinations could explain the whispered voice, the dreams, even the figure in the hallway. Could the red drips have been something simple? An unnoticed spill, a streak of iron-rich condensation reacting with textured paint? Maybe, but there's something else. Because sometimes trauma doesn't just live inside us. It clings to the walls. It soaks into the corners. It waits for quiet moments when the defenses are down, when the mind is still enough to hear what's always been there. If we believe that emotions carry energy, then homes, like people, can hold memories. What if the flat wasn't haunted by a spirit, but by the echoes of emotional residue, feeding on the fear that crept in? Or worse, what if something opportunistic came in with them, drawn not to the place, but to the people inside? And what about the hamster? Animals often detect things we can't. They see what's behind us. They respond to what we can only feel. Was her sudden decline part of a natural end, or did she absorb something that was meant for someone else? In the end, the red drips stopped, the sounds vanished, but the insomnia remained, because once something like this enters your world, even silence has weight. And maybe that's the real haunting, not what happens, but what we wait for next.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Big savings are in the air. Don't miss your chance at 15% cash back during Rakuten's Big Give Week. Shop and get rewarded at your favorite stores like Adidas, KitchenAid, Expedia, and hundreds more. So go ahead and refresh your closet, spruce up your home, book that trip, and much more. But 15% cash back is only from May 4th to the 11th. So join now. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app and join for free and start saving. That's Rakuten.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.